Hello and welcome to another episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. I'm Caleb Simmons.
And I'm Joshua Simmons. We are two brothers who love fly fishing, our families, and are men of faith. But like most of you listening, we're still not experts on any of those subjects.
So our hope is to speak with as many people that we believe are experts on these subjects and pose the questions that most of us are asking.
So thanks for joining us along the journey as we seek to inspire and encourage dads and anglers as we wade through fishing, fatherhood, and faith on the fly.
Well, hey everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. Joshua, so glad to be sitting down here in the basement with you, or in the studio as we like to call it, recording our 100th episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast.
Episode 100. Everybody stop where you're at and give a big round of applause that we made this far. Or, I don't know. Maybe we should just...
We made 100 episodes without me killing you? No, we haven't.
I think there's that. I think there's... That's part of it. I think there's, we made 100 episodes and somehow found... you know, I was thinking 100 episodes, that's... Most of our episodes are around like an hour.
Yeah.
So that...
Ooh, man. Think about that.
It's a lot of hours.
It's a lot of hours. Yeah. It's a lot of time spent together.
It's a lot of hours of podcasting.
It is. It's been so much fun though, man. Like, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I never really thought we'd... I don't want to say I never thought we did. I just never had expectations that we would be doing this for so long and so frequently. And here we are, 2 years in and 100 episodes in.
Yeah, episode 100. We have a lot of special things in store for this episode. But before we do any of that, I just want to say thank you to everyone who is listening. Without listeners, I mean, I do think we would still be doing this, but it's made it a lot kind of cooler for us to talk to people, to meet people when we go places, to host trips, to have retreats. I mean, from where we started with just us at your kitchen table, which I posted a picture of that this week to remind everybody we're doing episode 100. It has really come full circle, but it's not done yet. We have some exciting things we still want to do with it and continue to grow it. So, you know, if you love what you hear today, if you're new to this episode because you're trying to win some cool stuff, if you're new to win to Dads on the Fly because you're trying to win some cool stuff here at the end of the episode, I encourage you to tell your friends about it, and we would love to reach out and meet you guys wherever we're going to be in this next, you know, year, I guess, the next 100, and who knows what's going to happen in the next 100 episodes. We've already got some pretty cool stuff, but just a big thank you to those of you who listen regularly, who reach out, really appreciate it.
Yeah, man, I just want to echo that. This is definitely way more fun knowing that people actually are enjoying it and listening to it. And so thanks for everyone who continues to just tune in every single week as Joshua and I sit behind these mics and talk to either each other or some other guest about fly fishing and fatherhood and even faith and a lot of the things that go along with it. And so I'm just I'm grateful for the opportunities that we've had through this, the opportunities that we've had to meet so many amazing people. Again, we always talk about just the fly fishing community and the dad community that's out there, and I just am grateful to be a part of that. So thank you to each one of you who just kind of hangs out with us each week.
Yeah, I mean, who ever thought that we would have people that would not only reach out, but also kind of just kind of go on this journey with us from fatherhood, from expectations to what it's like to fish with kids to... you know, going to different places in the country and hanging out and fishing, but also just some times around like campfires or sitting on boats in the afternoons and talking to those people. That has been really cool for me. And just those of you that reach out, who listen to episodes, who say, you know, really appreciate this episode, really appreciate that episode, or wow, what about another question about this? Those really mean the world to us, and they really keep us doing what we're doing. And that's just been what it's been for me, man. So episode 100, let's dive into it. We got some exciting stuff to talk about. We put it out there to listeners for some questions. We got some really good ones. We're just kind of tackle these kind of all over the place. And then we are also going to do the giveaway toward the end of the episode. So you want to hang out for the end of the episode. We got some really cool stuff to give away, and it's only for listeners. So if you are listening right now, and you want better chance to win, You know, you're going to have to tell people to listen to the episode.
Yeah, you got to have to stick around to the end of this episode, listen through the whole thing, because we're going to drop sometime during this episode a code word, and there's going to be a link in the show notes and on our website for you to go fill out a form to go into this giveaway. But Joshua and I, for the 100th episode, decided, you know, we didn't want to just do an Instagram giveaway and let anybody out there.
There's a couple reasons for that.
Well, yeah, one, because Instagram giveaways are just scam city. But we also just wanted this to just go to our listeners. We wanted the people who have really been along the journey with us for this whole time to have a chance to to get these really cool prizes. Joshua, this prize package, I mean, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty solid. So kind of bummed I can't win it. But
what's all stuff you have?
Yeah, that's very true. Very, very true. So, so excited about this giveaway, and I hope people really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, Instagram giveaway drove me nuts last time. It's not that I love Instagram, thank you, but the giveaway drove me insane. And you never know who, like, bot 47 is actually winning your stuff, and it's yeah. just a frustrating situation. So, this is real people. We want to give it to real people. We want to give it to people who supported our show and who continue to support our show. And so we appreciate you doing that. So before we get into the giveaway, let's just talk about some things that our listeners ask about, man. We had some great questions. A couple of them a little deeper, and a couple of them just kind of like talk about this again. So I guess the first thing, I don't know, we'll just tackle these in kind of a random order. But the first thing somebody asked was that maybe we would do just like 5 or 10 minutes on more blue lining and how that's kind of how we first started fishing. And, you know, just to be honest, we have really stunk at that lately.
And I've been too addicted with other things.
Yeah.
And we've done it some.
Well, I thought maybe we would give our little recap from our most recent blue line experience on vacation.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't much of one, but.
Well, it was a true, like, blue lining experience.
Yeah, it was definitely the. So, John, we'll just tell the story. We were on vacation with our family in Banner Elk and having a great time for the most part, and did our one day of fishing that we always like to do. And when we're up there, careful, we love to go
morning of fishing.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry.
We don't get a whole
day. Definitely don't get a whole day. But we did a morning of fishing, and we wanted to go blue lining because that's our favorite thing to do in that area, because there's just blue lines all over the place. And so got out trout routes. We got out. We made some phone calls to some people and tried to learn some things. And I will give trout routes their due. They had they did an amazing job of showing us that there was access. Like, we found access to rivers very quickly, but we found out very quickly that these were not the blue line streams that we were hoping for.
Let's just talk about it. So first of all, big shout out to one of our sponsors of our show, Trout Routes. Dads on the Fly is always brought to you by Trout Routes. Caleb said we really did a deep dive, scroll, pinch and zoom, like, on Trout Routes big time. Thank the folks at Trout Routes. Guys, if you're not familiar with Trout Routes, you get a chance to win a free membership. There's
in the giveaway.
Little prize number one here at the end of the episode. But Trout Routes is a great app. You can use it to, and we really use it for blue lining.
Yeah.
So we went up to this parking lot. We parked. There was nobody there, which was encouraging.
It was early, but yeah.
But I mean, you know, and the river was very, very wadeable.
Yes.
And I guess we should have done a little more research on, and I think that's what we're going to talk about through blue lining, trying to help people blue line. If you're blue lining in the summer, you got to check your elevations.
Yeah.
And maybe we didn't check our elevation. It felt like we were elevated.
I thought we were high enough, but I don't know.
But we get it. We kind of walked down the real accessible trail. I was like, dude, this is going to be sweet. Easy.
Yeah,
easy.
Thought this was going to be. It's going to be. We thought it was going to be awesome. Because we hiked down river a pretty good bit and thought we'd fish up. I mean, we do that
easy
all the time.
Easy trail, easy wading, money.
Beautiful. So beautiful river.
We get in the water. Yeah, it's not very cold. That was
the first thing I noticed. Well, we'd been playing in the creek with our kids near the house that we were at. And, you know, the water's frigid. And we get in this creek and we're wet wading because it's July. And I get in and I'm like, this does not feel like a trout stream. I mean, I think I said it right after we got in the creek.
Well, and then we found out it wasn't a trout stream. And the way we found out it wasn't a trout stream was, and it may be a trout stream, I don't know, different parts of the year.
Maybe.
But when Caleb hooked into multiple.
Oh, man, I was catching bluegill like left and right.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
That was kind of our sign that, okay, maybe this is not a trout stream.
Yeah.
So we were like, that's what you have to do sometime, blue lining. Yeah, blue
line. You're learning, you're figuring stuff out.
Unless you know your spots, which we didn't go to our regular spot this time.
We tried something new.
So we were like, sayonara. We're out go to another stream. It was just too overgrown. We couldn't get in there. I was like, this is not going to be any better than the first stream.
It was nuts. We got in a little bit, and it wasn't.
So then we took a 30-minute or 20-minute drive back down the mountain, mm-hmm. which we obviously weren't as high up the mountain as we thought we were. But anyway, we go down this gravel road. We get back to a main road. Well, local fly shop's like, hey, you can just hop in here and fish behind the shop. And we did. But we're not about getting shot. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
does that make sense?
The guy was like, you get it here, fish up, nobody will bother you.
There's like three trespassing signs within the first 300 yards.
So many trespassing signs. And I turned around and looked at you. I was like, Josh, I don't know how I feel about this.
Caleb was not feeling easy. Like, he finally caught a trout, which
we caught one. So I was like, okay, I feel a little better, but.
Which for you was a new river. So it was kind of cool.
It was neat. I caught a trout in a new stream. But it was funny because every time I heard a car door slam, I just looked up. I was like, here they come.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one thing about blue lighting, folks, that we have learned. Way before podcasting and even in podcasting, we're all about in North Carolina. Don't know where you live. Maybe your laws are easier. But in North Carolina, it doesn't matter if you have a free access point to get in. You're still on somebody's property if the river runs through their property. And we started seeing signs. And
If you're floating,
if it's a navigable river, you're good. But we were like, all right, let's hightail out of here. Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, there's this one spot I've always wanted to try. I was getting kind of late in the morning. I was like, let's try this one spot. Okay, it's we thought it was closer to the trail than it was.
You look at the map.
It runs right by the road.
The only thing about looking at maps, the river runs right by the road. And there's this parking lot with this awesome trailhead near the river. Yeah. And so we're thinking, sweet. We said we got 30 minutes. That's what you told me.
No. We said we have about an hour.
Okay. That's right.
And there was a park ranger.
We parked, and I'm looking at the map, and I'm like, dude, the river's right there.
Yeah,
like, surely we could find a way to get down to it. I mean, it's literally right there.
And so we get our stuff geared back up, and we start walking. And there's a park ranger. There's like a bathroom up at the top of this trailhead. And I was like, how long a hike to the river? He was like, a mile. I was like,
we both looked at each other like, no way.
He's
confused.
We could find a better way in. Well, doggone it if he was right.
He was dead on.
Obviously, because he works there.
Yep.
And we hiked a mile. Like, I'm just huffing it. We were getting it. Because we knew we were trying to get
boots
out.
Boots on. Yeah. Like, we were rolling.
So we get down to this river. It is tiny.
Oh, man.
Which was kind of cool
its own way. We were in the headwaters.
Yeah, we were at the headwaters of this little stream. Tiny. But it was also kind of close enough to a big road. You could hear cars, but it was way up.
Yeah,
like the ravine or whatever.
Obviously, as we found out, the road was.
But you caught a sweet brown trout.
Man, I caught a beautiful wild brown.
And so that's what I wanted to tell people when it comes to blue lining. I think there's two ways to look at it. You can blue line the streams you know. And some days for us, they're going to be exploratory.
Yeah.
And on exploratory days, like, I didn't catch a trout that day, but we were kind of a team effort, and I felt like we caught some trout, and we were able to get to a cool spot. And see, that's the thing about it. We didn't have a huge catching fish day, but we will always remember this story.
Oh, we got a fun story, yeah. Part of because of the way we got back to the
car. Well, that's what I was going to get to. But before we get to how we get back to the car, would it have been a day that would have been comfortable taking kids?
No.
Negative.
Gosh, no.
And so, you know, people
ask, I don't think I'd ever explore somewhere new with my kids.
That is a thing that I agree with. We don't tend to explore new water with kids. So, definitely. Yeah,
because you just never know what you're going to get into. I mean, you think the river's right there from the parking lot, and then it's a mile and a half hike in. Or, you know, you get down somewhere, and it's really overgrown and a lot worse than you thought it was going to be, and there's no room for them to cast. And you know, the point of taking your kids fishing is for them to have a good time. And
just
then,
to walk along would not have been pleasant that day. All the walking we did we walked a lot to fish a little. Okay. So we caught our trout, and I was like, dude, we gotta get back to the house. We told the girls we'd be back at this time. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, let's not hike this trail. Well, I was like,
we could see the road.
And there was an easy way to get out. I knew where there was a gate.
Yeah.
And I was like, we can get out. Well, we get out on a major highway. I'm talking about a major highway. So here's
have you ever been to Boone?
You're going to give too much away.
Sorry.
I just want you to think about a two-lane highway in the mountains, guys, that's pretty heavy. And I want you to think you're going on your family vacation, or maybe you're driving into work that day, or there's dump trucks and big 18-wheelers, and you've got these two nuts in their wading gear with their fly rods just walking down the side of the road.
We had to look.
At one point, the 18-wheeler wind blew, it blew my hat.
That was the best part. Yeah, I'm standing behind you, and this huge dump truck comes flying by, and the wind from it whips your hat off. Because I mean, we were walking guardrail.
I mean, I could have touched the truck with my fly rod.
With your fly rod, with your hand. I mean, guardrail, 6 inches of grass, road. I mean,
and that's the reason number two, sometimes you don't take your kids blue lighting.
You never know where you
might end up. Because you don't know how you're going to get out of the river or where you're going to end up. So there's our most recent blue lining. Thank you to the person that asked us to talk about blue lining. That's what we would say.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I did some exploring later in the week because you had to leave. I had to stay for a couple extra days. We can talk about that another day of why I had to stay. But when I stayed, I went and did some exploring in another creek, and we found our
next okay to talk about it. We're up there. Our dad had a little fall.
Yeah,
on vacation. He had. I don't know what I'd call a major minor injury. I mean, it's nothing like life threatening, but he's now in some rehab with his hip and stuff. So, but let's tell this story. What Caleb learned is, when you stay in the mountains,
don't let your fly rod leave you.
Yes. You sent your wife and kids home with your fly rod.
Well, listen, dad's in the hospital. Mom's in the hospital. I thought my time was going to be spent
in the hospital.
And then the second night I'm there with him, Mom's like, why don't you go on, go grab you something to eat. You know, me and dad are fine. And we were literally just hanging out. And I was like, man, I've been stuck in here. I'd slept in the hospital the night before. I was like, I've been stuck in here all day. I got to go find somewhere to walk around.
And you found?
I find this trail.
A brook trout stream.
With a brook trout stream that apparently runs right beside it. And I'm like, sweet. Yeah. I'm going to go check it out. But I had no gear. No fly rod. Had nothing. And I'm walking beside. And dude, plunge pool city. Just got to be. It's got to be eat up with brook trout. I mean, I probably spooked 20 just hiking through, because you know me, I hiked up the trail and then I hiked back down the river. Yeah. Like I got off the trail.
Big rookie mistake there.
Oh yeah,
big time
I felt like
failure.
Such an idiot.
Should have had a rod with you.
Oh yeah, because I think we'd have torn them up. But that's where we're going next year.
So now we have found a new spot. So there you go. There's your message in blue lining. Sometimes you just have to explore. Sometimes you catch fish. I think the older your kids get, like my son still loves to go blue lining on trails we know, on places we know where to get out. But on exploratory missions, we tend to do that without kids. So.
For sure.
There's our advice for blue lining. Another question that came up. And I'm going to let you tackle this one.
Oh, boy.
How do you... And this was a really thought-out email, and I'm not looking at the email right now. I just wrote it down in my notes. But a great email from a listener who said, no, I think his kids are maybe younger. He's getting into kind of being a dad. And how do you just balance, and how have we done a better job of balancing fishing and dad stuff?
Yeah.
In the 100 weeks, or I guess 100 episodes, of doing this show, two questions I want to start with for you. Number one, have you fished more with your kids since we've done the podcast?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've been outside with my kids more since we've done podcast. I just think I think for me, it's a couple of reasons. First, I want to be honest, and I don't want to encourage other dads to spend time with their kids outside and not be doing that myself.
That's a good point, though.
How much of a phony would I be if I'd be sitting here being like, hey, be intentional with your kids, spend some time with them, go take them outside, and I never did it.
Welcome to Dads on the Fly, where Caleb and I talk about outdoor adventures with
our
kids.
About what you should do. Do as I say, not as I do. But no, I mean, that's the thing, and so it has encouraged me to do that more. And I think just talking with other people, you know, when you've got those ideas in your head, the things, you know, that you kind of surround yourself with are the things that you're thinking about a lot. And so the fact that we've been doing this for 100 episodes, we talked to a lot of folks about being outside, about being near a river, about being near water, and about having your kids out at those places. So it has encouraged me to do that more often. And like I hope it kind of does with anybody who listens to the show. So yes, I've definitely spent more time outside
with my kids. I think my biggest balancing thing has been in just embracing short afternoons, hours, maybe only 30 minutes at ponds or creekside where I can wade.
Yeah.
That to me has been the biggest thing in changing. I don't know. I just remember when we started this podcast, it was very okay. If we're going fishing, it's like we're going fishing for like the day.
Yeah.
Or we're going fishing for like the afternoon. And I think we have done a much better job. And it comes from listener advice and it comes from guest advice. Just embrace that afternoon, embrace that couple hours. A fishing trip for you is not a fishing trip for your kids. It's a different experience. And so that is how I feel like I have balanced it better. Now, when we get back into school, obviously we will not fish as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's when I even embrace that 2 hours more or that hour and a half.
Yeah, for sure.
That I can get down to the river or a Saturday afternoon when I just have a couple hours to balance it. But I do think that that is a great thing that is constantly – you're getting better. Like, you never master it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's always that managing expectations of deciding, you know, is this a trip for me to go catch fish or is this a trip where I'm taking my kids and understanding that. We talk about that all the time. You know, the other thing I want to get back to, though, that I think this listener brought up, and it's something that I learned a while back that has really been beneficial for me. So a lot of folks talk about that word balance. I think the question even said that, and we've even mentioned it a few times, you know, finding the right balance. And I read a book a long time ago, and I think I maybe have mentioned it on this.
I think we've talked about this before. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's called The Myth of Balance, mm-hmm. because that's what, you know, culture and everything tells us we're supposed to have. Like, everything's got to be balanced. It's got to be the exact amount of time here, the exact amount of effort here, the exact, you know, as it is with your kids, as it is with your hobbies, as it is with your wife, as it is with your work. And, you know, everything's got to be balanced. We're looking for this balanced life. And I read something not too long ago that just helped me so tremendously because I was in a really rough place with my family where I was a workaholic and so focused on work and so focused on getting stuff done there that it was eating up my time with my kids and it was eating up my time with my family. And even when I was supposed to be with my kids and family, I wasn't really present there. But this book, it's called The Myth of Balance. It's written for people in ministry, but it could work for anybody. And he said, give up balance and instead pursue passion. And that's what I try to do. So my time with my kids, I try to be fully engaged, fully focused, passionate about whatever they're doing, passionate about whatever we're doing as a family. When I'm with my wife, fully engaged, listening, paying attention, having deep conversations, talking about things that really matter, being intentional about dating her and loving her intentionally. When I'm fishing, I am focused. I'm dialed in. When I'm trying to do, you know, when I'm tying flies, I'm pursuing those things with passion and trying to be dialed in at those times. And I quit trying to keep like a time chart and making sure that I was doing all that evenly and living it out completely balanced. And instead, when I give my kids my full energy and my full intentionality, even in those shorter bouts of time sometimes that happen in seasons, it means a lot more than if I'm just, you know, trying to say, hey, yeah, okay, I'm spending my time. If we see spending time with our kids and our family as just something we check off a box, I think it's something really wrong.
Well, there's some weeks that, you know, there was a week this summer where I took my kids fishing like four times in one week. And then there's some weeks where I don't take them at all.
Exactly. I mean, it comes in spells and seasons.
That's how it works. And so I think that's good. You just have the passion to be in the moment you're in. And, you know, you kind of understand your priorities or you understand like what's most important to you. And even though, you know, your kids and wife and family and faith are most important to you, sometimes things are going to take different turns. You're going to do stuff. And so, it's a great point. I think that we have covered, you know, that's kind of the way we talked about this in the past on other episodes. Just, I think maybe one thing people ask is, you know, how do you balance getting to fish without your kids? Yeah, some too,
for sure.
And that's something that it just depends on circumstances.
Well, and age of kids and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, you're not going to be able to fish with your 4-year-old as much as you can fish with your 14-year-old.
No, and I'm talking about like when we fish just us and not even taking our kids.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? How do you arrange that? You know, you don't want to just constantly, you know, pawn off your kids on your day off other people.
I think it's wise conversations and good timing of conversations.
Oh, timing is everything.
Especially with asking my wife. I also learned a good thing about that not too long ago either. I stopped saying, hey, would it be okay? I stopped asking my wife for permission.
Yeah.
To go fishing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, this is interesting.
Instead of saying, hey, can I do this?
Yeah.
Because I don't remember where I got this from. Instead of asking her for permission, I've started saying, hey, would you cover for me so that I can do this?
That's cool.
Because what it looks, when I ask for permission, I mean, she's not my mom. Well, I don't technically need her permission to do it, and she doesn't want to feel that way.
Not technically.
But hear me out. Yeah. When I say, hey, would you cover with the kids for me so that I can do this? Yeah. I think it recognizes a lot more that like, hey, you are making a sacrifice for me so that I can go do what I want to do.
For sure.
Instead of just you know, being like a kid asking for permission for something.
Yeah. I mean, grandparents are great for those of us that have.
For sure.
So, you know, you start thinking about Christmas presents and just say, hey, you know, birthday coming up. Hey, my mother-in-law, you know, how about a little coupon that just says 4 hours of fishing? You know, to me, that's a great Christmas
gift. Well, we're real blessed with that.
Yeah, I know we are, but, you know, everybody's not. So, you know, if you... There's always that, and, you know, you have good friends in your church or your local group you hang out with. If you ever want to get me, oh, man, thank you for doing this for me. If you ever want to get me something, hey, would you...
Watch my kids.
Would you ever want to, you know, take my kids to the mall for a couple hours, to the playground for a few hours? It's very easy. So that's great. Well, we've kind of talked about before, and you kind of hit on this. Another question somebody asked was, and I think we covered it in our blue lining kind of adventure, when expectations don't meet reality.
That's all the time.
Yeah. When you're fishing, expectations don't meet reality. But one thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't know if we'll end up doing a vacation recap because we've got so much planned for the next 2 months of the podcast. But I think one thing I wanted to mention about when expectations don't meet reality, maybe you get fishing. And if your kids are younger, man, catch some stinking salamanders.
Dude, how much fun was that?
We went on a salamander catching. It was like catch and release salamander for a while.
Yep.
We would catch them, we'd look at them, we'd release them. And our kids got into some salamander catch and release.
Salamander and crayfish, man.
Yeah.
We caught, golly, we probably caught over 30.
We were just in a waterfall hanging out.
Yep.
And they thought that was the coolest day. And so sometimes when expectations don't meet reality, you just look under rocks, catch salamanders, and catch bugs. And that was another question that popped up that I didn't write down. Somebody said, talk about entomology. And so I said, great, Caleb can cover that in my thought. But, you know, just being able to look at rocks, and I'm so bad at it that I'm sometimes scared to do it. And I don't pump. I've never pumped, like, fish's stomachs or anything. But
once or twice.
If you just... I don't know. I really should probably believe more that...
I mean, you're talking about, like, entomology as far as, like, catching fish goes? Like, what do I do to try to, like, match the hatch and stuff like that?
But, like, I guess with your kid,
I guess maybe... So, I have done this with Reed before. Like, we'll flip over a rock, and we'll find, like, a mayfly nib for, you know, like some kind of... Or stonefly nib for something underneath a rock.
Yeah.
And then I'll look at it, and I'll say, all right, buddy, which one of these bugs... And I'll take my fly box out.
Better be a box.
Which one of these bugs... Do you think it looks like this the best?
That better be a box of flies that I haven't tied. You know what I mean? For okay, sure. Buddy, let's get out the store-bought box and let's see which one of these bugs that, you know,
that's funny.
People have tied.
Yeah.
Because
I do ask him about that sometimes. I'm like, hey, what do you think? What does it look like? Because just to try to, I guess, get him a little bit more connected with it.
Yeah, so. For sure. Okay, so we're just rolling right along with some of this stuff. And
these are great.
This is fun. Then I'm going to give you a chance at the end to kind of just talk about what you want to talk about for.
Oh boy!
I think we're the host. We should get to talk about what we want to talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
But over 100 episodes. What is the and it can't be fish with snacks because I think everybody gets that by now. But best tip or technique you have received, and I don't think I can narrow it down to one. I think there are some reoccurring tips or techniques, but.
That's for like fishing with your kids or just in general?
Well, for me, fishing with my kids
are like the biggest tips we've gotten from the show.
For me, fishing with my kids is the younger the child, the more early success the trip needs to be. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So if I've got a younger child, like my daughter, I'm going to go somewhere that I know fish are going to be like on in a hurry. If they're not, that may be where I take Foster, like our saltwater stuff, obviously for me. I'm not going to saltwater fishing. I take Foster because I'm probably not catching anything, as we've, you know, documented and well recorded. But that's where I'm going to take. Whereas with her, I'm going to take her some places she can be more successful. Field tugs, net fish.
Yeah.
That would be my. And I've heard that from a lot of guests. I think that, along with just enjoying the experience, are kind of the biggest things I've picked up in 100 episodes. If there's nothing that really else that really jumps out at me. I mean, I think we talked about this in our 2-year anniversary episode. Some of the guest comments that we kind of talked about, but those are the biggest tips for me.
Yeah, I think one of the ones that stands out to me the most is just not forcing it on your kids.
Yep.
Like the fishing and the fly tying or whatever it is, you know, inviting them into it is one thing, but trying to make them like exactly what you like is not good for your relationship. I think, I think Tom Rosenbauer told us about that, you know, with his with his son, talking about the fact that his son loved touch the fish, but he had zero desire in catching to hook him to hook him in the mouth. And so, yeah, I thought that was really interesting and something to be mindful of. For, you know, right now, both my kids are kind of into it, which is fun, but there may be a day where they don't want to anymore, and that doesn't need to be a thing that I try to force on them.
I got you. Okay, then our last really listener comment or question of the ones I got, some of them kind of repeat each other, but, and this, one person put a great question, which I know it's a buddy of mine. He was just being funny, so I'm going to make sure he listens to this just to give him a hard time, but one of the questions he posted on one of my posts were, do you even double haul? And and I guess my answer to that was probably not.
Not well.
But, you know, there's always another adventure for another day that I'm trying. I mean, obviously, I don't have to double haul here, but But yeah, no, I guess I really don't. Nobody has taken me up on. I kind of have to go back to work now. Nobody
didn't get a chance to go saltwater fishing again.
Nobody gave me the, you know, we can get you on a fish this time. But I am going to the beach in
September.
First September. So Labor Day weekend, maybe there's still a shot. I don't know. Maybe there's like a backwater slough or something. I could just go catch like some whatever the stupidest saltwater fish is, you know, just to say I hook it on a six
weight. Catch a croaker.
Just what I can say, I can hook it on a six weight or whatever, just to say it happened. Man, I think the other thing that somebody mentioned was, and I don't know what part of what they wanted us to talk about, but maybe we could just say why we are so into smallmouth recently. Mm. And, you know, we were going to smallmouth float right now. We were going to be on the water right now. We had a little water situation.
Mud.
Meaning that water. It was too muddy storms. But for me, you know, there's two ways to look at smallmouth. One, I love the techniques of fishing for them because I just love stripping streamers all day or popping bugs. The other thing for me is I really just don't want to trout fish in the summer.
Yeah.
Because it's been so hot. And so those are the two things for me. But I know for you it's a lot of flies and other things. So just talk about, like, you know, what have you just loved about smallmouth this? Because obviously we've done more than we ever have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think several things. I love fishing from our boat, and so smallie fishing gives a great opportunity to do that well. I just have so much fun on that thing and cruising along. And I think one of the things we talk about when you're fishing from the boat, which is different than when you're wading, is you're in a lot closer proximity to people. You're able to have a lot more fun conversations. And
for sure.
So I've always enjoyed that part of smallie fishing. You know, as far as the like actual fishing go, I love tying streamers. And so I'm having a lot of fun tying bugs for smallmouth, which has been really good. And then, too, man, it's just something about those fish, man. They're just bruisers. And, you know, people say all the time, pound for pound, they're the fightingest fish, freshwater fish out there. And I agree with it, man. I mean, I've hooked in a couple of nice ones, still no, you know, wall hangers or anything like that. But I'm... I can have as much fun catching smallies, you know, pound to 2 pound smallies as I can catching trout.
Well, I have as much fun with the technique, I think, of just finding how to strip differently, fast, slow, strip pause, strip pause, hang, strip, drift, pause, where the fish live, and, you know, just learning how so many of them this past spring and early summer I caught in the middle of the water column and not on the bank. Yeah. And, like, I would even like to go this week, now that water comes back down from the dirtiness, to see, hey, did that move them back in the middle? Did it put them back on the bank? It's been so hot. We haven't had rain.
That's the thing. It's something to figure out every time we go. I mean, we fish the same water
mostly
a lot. We fish the same water a lot. And we still, it's different every time we go, as far as, like, how to catch them.
Do you think part of it is, for me, though, is, like, there's a water we could go float on our boat for trout all through the fall and winter, and we don't do it as much. You think part of it is because they're stockfish?
Maybe.
I think it is for me.
Probably so,
It's nothing against stockfish. Nothing against it,
we catch them all the time.
Most of our rivers we float here are delayed harvest waters.
Yeah.
So those are stock trout, and they're fun as crap to catch.
But we don't have anywhere really around here to float.
But I know.
As wild trout.
No, I mean, I know I can go float waters for delayed harvest waters on my boat.
And, yeah.
put a girdle bug and a midge or a girdle bug and a Frenchie behind it. And
it's fun. Like, and it's a blast.
It is fun. It's just kind of where we're at of I'd rather go. And I may only catch like four smallies where I would have catch like 30 trout.
Yeah.
And I guess it's different. And I still want to take my, I've not gotten my son on the DH water to, you know, really catch some trout from the boat. So still something we want to do maybe this fall and spring. But I think a lot of it is time of year.
Yeah.
I'm off in the summer. It's warm.
Yeah.
We just, but we have other smallmouth fisheries that I want to explore that we haven't maybe done. But something about smallmouth are fun. And, you know, I mean, heck, we had our net built with a smallie.
Yeah.
it's got a smallie skin on it.
Yep.
You know, big shout out to Catch Cam, and that net's been great for those, and we've put a lot of smallies in it this summer, which has been pretty cool. Yep. And it's even cool for me to take people and put, you know, those smallies in my net when they're fishing.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of netting them, so it's a cool thing. So one last thing I want to ask you before I'll give you a second to maybe give your 100th episode spill, and I'll do mine, and then we'll give this giveaway and let everybody go about their week or day or afternoon or whatever they're in. So, you know, I listen to this radio show every day, and that I listen to every day, usually on a podcast, but I listen to it some live. And they were talking about this quote that Darius Rucker made. You know Darius Rucker?
Yeah.
He was like a singer.
The music.
He's from South Carolina. Yeah. So he's
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah, Hootie and the Blowfish.
But now he's all by himself.
But supposedly he made this quote in an article that he plays golf every single day.
Dang.
You got me?
Nice.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't want to golf every day.
Okay, so my question.
I have the money to golf
every day. My question for you is, if the stars aligned and for some reason, like, I don't know, you won the lottery, something happened, and you literally could fish every day of the year, you're nodding. Would you? There's no question.
No,
like, you would fish 365 days a year.
You just said if the stars aligned.
I mean, like, if
so even that if it was for like an hour. That mean, that's what I'm saying. That means I could fish every day and still accomplish everything I needed to do at work, still be intentional with my family and my kids. So I don't think it's fathomable to fish every day.
If you lived on the Yellowstone River.
If I lived on the river and I could put my kids to bed and walk outside and catch trout, I'd do it. Or fish for that matter. I'd do it.
Is that
I could do it every day.
Yeah.
I mean, there are days, dude, I have a pond right down from my house.
Yeah.
We've talked about that a couple times. I mean, I don't own it and I have to call to get permission to go fish it. I could walk down there every day.
Maybe that needs to be our future. The Dads on the Fly Pond. Like, we need to figure one out.
I mean,
like,
I'd totally do. I could do it. I could do it every single day. Even if it's just 20 minutes.
Yeah. What was discussed on the show was, and which was interesting, they ask each other, like, if there's anything you could do, what would you do? You know, for us, I think it would be fishing. Like, I don't think there's anything else that I would, like, I would not want to go to.
I don't know if I could, like, guide every day and do to 5 hours.
No.
I don't know if I'm called or led to do that.
But like I couldn't run every day. I couldn't go to a movie every day. There's some things I could not do every day. I couldn't play golf every day.
Ugh. Gosh, no.
I would be miserable.
I would be a horrible person to be around. I'd be mad all the time.
But you know, I started thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if I could fish. And I think I could just because I'm so wrapped around it, especially if some of those days were in different places. But even the same fish, I mean, I remember Mr. Rosenbauer saying he's got a trout stream running in his backyard.
And he fishes every day.
You know, he knows him by name, like Sally, Bob, John, Frank. You know, these are his fish.
I could do that. If I had a trout stream in my backyard, I could fish every day.
I think I could fish every day, too. And so that's probably one of the few things I probably could do every day. So, man, we are 100 episodes in. We have some exciting stuff coming up from some cool guests. We have our Albee trip in October. We have our Dads on the Fly father-son retreat, which has got one spot for sure, maybe two. I'm waiting for another confirmation for 2024. That's April 26th through 28th. Probably a fall trip coming up. What is there anything, you know, there's one thing I really... And it's not, guys, we don't do, like, for our merch, I just want some fishing shirts. And so I'm just putting it out there. I really want
some sun shirts.
I really want a sun shirt with Dads on the Fly on it. It's not to make money because we do not make money on our merch at all. I just want one myself. Yeah. We don't know what shows, events, trips, or places we're going to be this year yet as the fall and kind of winter set in. But I just want to keep going as good as we can with this thing. And just really want to say, you know, thank you to everybody for listening. And, you know, we've got one cool thing coming up in November that we don't want to talk about yet. That's going to be really awesome. That I'm excited about. And hopefully that'll be, I know it'll be really well done. Hopefully it'll be cool. But man, just think about the things we've done in 100 episodes. We those of you who have seen us on YouTube, we tried that for a couple of minutes and it's just too much freaking work. We've said before, if there's an intern in Western North Carolina, a young kid that just wants some experience and you want to come shoot our episodes, just come on. Now, keep in mind, we'd never know when we're going to record.
I was gonna say, you have to have an extremely flexible
schedule. Yeah, you got to be really flexible. It's true dads on the fly action. But, you know, other than that, man, we've been places. We've tried to catch fish in places. We've caught fish in places. And it's really just to the generosity of people that have allowed us to do things. I mean, there's people across this country now that if I called them and said, hey, I'm going to be on a trip here, they would probably take me fishing. And that's really cool. Awesome. And in the same way, you know, there's a lot of people who say, I'm coming to your area. And if we're here, we love to fish with you.
Yeah.
And we have done that in some occasions, just depending on our schedules and what we're doing. But and we still want to always keep that invitation open to folks for the most part. If not, we can't fish with it. We'll try to put you on some water where fish are.
Yep.
So what else, man, before we do giveaway? Anything else? Just in 100 episodes that you're...
Just, this has been so much fun, and I just want to take a minute and thank you, man, because without you plugging away and without you being consistent, it probably wouldn't happen every week. You are the guy who gets me down here every week and schedules all the stuff.
But keep in mind...
It makes it all... But
there's a well-balance to this team.
I know I do the behind-the-scenes stuff, but... I mean, if you weren't the one texting people and messaging people or texting me and saying, hey, look, I would think we should talk about this and doing this, this thing would not be happening.
I don't, but I've gotten better about waking you up at 2 a.m. like, hey, this is
wrong. You don't do that anymore, and I appreciate that.
Yeah,
but
I've gotten better than that.
You usually text me and be like, you up? And then it goes.
Like a generosity text first.
And then it goes from there, which is fine. But no, I do, man. I really appreciate you because this thing would not be where it is today without your consistency and your drive to make it what it is. And so I'm grateful, man.
It's well, I appreciate what this is for us. We've talked about it before. You know, unfortunately when we're busy, these are some of the only conversations we have.
Yeah.
Not texting. You know, we have, or calling each other. We've had some other conversations, but, there's still some things I want to do with it. Which we both kind of know about. There's still some things, but we also are in seasons of our life where we're both like kind of right in the middle of our careers in a way too.
Yeah. And you know, raising young kids.
If we were 58 and retired, who knows what we might be doing with it.
Yeah.
But who knows what we'll be doing with it then either. But I think it has been a great thing for us personally. I think it's been great for our kids. I think it has been an amazing thing that we've done 100 episodes with some of the coolest people you could ever
out
think
there.
To. Yeah. And man, just talking to one of our most awesome guest the other day about him coming back on the show when he releases something is super pumped. I want to speak about it so bad, but I can't. But just like no the fact yet. That he that one's gonna be just awesome. Yeah. And some of the other things of folks I'm trying to get, and you know, I think it's cool that we keep kind of widening our audience of guests. We don't want to limit anybody.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that we've kind of missed and tried to with scheduling and stuff, but it's going to be a cool next 100 episodes. I hope we've done a couple of minor, like, you know, Ben from Dorsal was on with us twice just because he was here.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, in the next 100, we're probably going to bring back some,
some
guests, especially those ones that people just really enjoy talking to. And so, but you know, you've said this before, the coolest thing to me has been the episodes that we talk to people that maybe people don't know about
yet. Yeah.
And that's been really fun.
Yeah.
The episodes of people that are not.
The ones that are just like so surprising. I mean, like let me
just tell people. This is my
one. You talk to folks and you know who they are kind of. You read their website. You read their bios. You read some stuff. And then all of a sudden you start talking and you're like, holy
cow. Just to let everybody know, we'll end with this before we go to the giveaway. One of the things that brings me the most joy in this show is when I have spent maybe a month, 2 months just talking to this guest, right?
Yeah.
And like, you know, completely nothing about
them. I mean, I know what you send me.
Yes. But we hit the Zoom ends, and Caleb looks at me and goes, "That was awesome."
Yeah,
those have been the highlights of the show for me. Is when Caleb looks at me and goes, "Dude, that guy was awesome."
Yeah.
Or, "Man, those people were awesome."
Yeah.
And that's when it's almost like a challenge. Like, who can I get that Caleb is gonna think is awesome this time? So thank you to, not that I guess. Not a lot of our guests come back and listen to our show, but thank you to those of you that have been on the show, the guests, the people, the places we've got to go, from Riverette USA to our buddy Fish Hands Frankie for making videos for us from the retreat. You know, too many shout outs to give, just some of those that we talk to weekly and all the time. And we're going to thank you guys right now. So here's your chance. Okay. Let me just, you ready? No?
We're supposed to have a code word by now.
Well, you're supposed to come up with a code word. Okay. But here's the deal, okay? So we have been very blessed. We already talked about our sponsorship with Trout Routes earlier in the episode. Dads on the Fly is also brought to you by two other amazing companies. One of them is TurtleBox Audio. And TurtleBox Audio makes rugged, durable, you can't break them, splash them, waterproof speakers that sit on the back of drift boats and rafts like no other, and go to family beach vacations or while you're cutting grass or just tying flies, or for us, while our kids were in the hot tub on vacation, we always had the turtle box going. So there is no, nothing that a turtle box cannot be used for when it comes to music. And folks, the folks at Turtle Box are, for the Dads on the Fly 100 episode giveaway, are giving away a free turtle box.
That's pretty incredible.
So this prize package for Dads on the Fly is going to be broken up into three categories. If you were to win and already have a turtle box, you can go down to category two. We'll let you pick. But the first package will be a sticker pack of friends of ours that have been on the show or sent us stickers, or we have a bunch of stickers just laying around here from all kinds of people all over the country, plus Dads on the Fly stickers with a turtle box audio that's going to be shipped to your door. So that will be prize package number one. Big shout out to Turtle Box. Thank you. Will and the guys over at Turtle Box. Got me? All right, so prize pack number two is going to include from our friends at Catch Cam Nets, where you can build your own net. We talked about ours. It's got Smalley kind of skin with our Dads on the Fly logo on it. You can, I mean, it feels like you can get a net from them for a whale, but I mean, I guess it's just a muskie, but good grief, some of them are huge. And Steven and Bo have been so gracious to us here at Dads on the Fly, and what a great relationship. They were on an episode a while back. And so package two is going to be a $100 gift certificate for any catch cam net that you want. So maybe you need a brookie net.
Spectacular.
Maybe you need a boat net. Maybe you need a brookie net. Whichever net you want, they're going to give you $100 off of that net. And we already mentioned Trout Routes. It's going to, with that $100 off, you're going to get a Trout Routes membership for a year. So we're going to send you a Trout Routes paid membership for a full year, and that is going to be part two. And then part three, or section three of the Dads on the Fly giveaway for the 100th episode, is going to be a couple things from a couple different friends of ours. An Azimuth Fly Company has given us a couple tool sets, and we're going to give one of those away. It's got all the things you would need other than a vise to fly, to tie flies. So super cool there. Our friends at Local Flow Magazine, which some goofy podcasters from North Carolina are featured in Volume 2, are going to send you not just Volume 2, but Volume 1. So you're going to win Volume 1 and Volume 2 of the Local Flow Magazines, and an Azimuth Fly tying tool set. And then while you're sitting there tying those flies, a bag of Angler's Coffee from our buddy Joe at Angler's Coffee to sit back and drink some coffee, tie some flies, or sit back and drink the coffee and read the magazine. It's a perfect combination for part three. So, guys, what we're going to do is, here's how this is going to work. You are going to be able, first thing when this drops, what time do these things drop? 5 or 6?
6 a.m.
I always forget. I get a little email, but I always forget if it's 5 or 6.
Yeah.
So 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Hawaiian. Yeah, that's right. It's backwards, okay. Right?
You said 3 p.m.
3 a.m. Pacific. 1 a.m. Hawaiian.
Yeah, you know? Okay, sure.
I'm not even going to go into European time. Yeah. We got a couple buddies over there that messages Germany. Cool. And our one Australian guy. I wish I could remember his name. I'm so sorry if you're listening and I've forgotten your name, because we've talked before, that listens like every week, which is still nuts to me. We didn't even talk about that. 100 episodes, we have someone in Australia who listens to our show.
Oh, maybe he can get me to New Zealand.
He can if we can fly there. But anyway, wherever you're listening, here's what you do. Well, this is very, very simple. Caleb's going to go over the instructions of how to enter, the Dads on the Fly 100th episode giveaway. Now, before you mention the rules, it is going to go on for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So August the 14th will be our, once you're entered, you can only enter once.
Yep. And we want to give, we want to do this just for our listeners. So we set this up to where only people who have listened to the episode can.
I mean, I guess somebody could listen and be a cheater, but
I mean, I guess you could listen and tell everybody the code word,
but don't be that person.
Don't be that guy. So yeah, go to the link in our show notes. We'll put the link in our show notes. We'll also, the link is also on our website, dadsonthefly.com. At the top, you'll see the 100th episode giveaway. Go to the link and fill out that form. And in that form, the first question on that form is the code word, and the code word in honor of our dad is the name David, D-A-V-I-D. That is your code word, David, D-A-V-I-D. In honor of our dad, who has inspired us to continue in this podcast and inspired us in so many different ways. So that is your code word for the 100th episode of the Dads on the 100th episode giveaway for Dads on the Fly. Again, the link is in the show notes. You can go to our website, dadsonthefly.com, see the link there as well. The code word is David. Again, please don't share that. But because if you do, you're just ruining your chances of winning one of these amazing prizes.
What you can do, though, is tell your friend, your wife, your loved one, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law,
send
your grandparent.
Send them this episode.
There you go. Let's make this the most ever listened to Dads on the Fly episode ever.
And because give you this a chance. These are some pretty phenomenal prizes. So we would love to give these to somebody who listens to our show and to honor them with some amazing stuff.
Folks, we thank you guys so much. 100 episodes down, 100 more coming your way in the next, 100 weeks. We haven't taken a break all year.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if we will. We'll roll right through Christmas. Sometimes we take 1 week after Christmas, but we will just keep on rolling. We are excited for those of you who are listening that are coming to the Albee trip. We can't wait to fish with you guys. It's only like 2 or 3 months away, man.
Yeah,
it's getting wild. It's getting close. Tyler and the guys are getting pumped down there. They've been pulling in some reds I've been seeing on Facebook, Instagram. Awesome. And so excited for that. And then, always reach out if you want that last spot for the April 24 Dads on the Fly retreat. If you are in the area, as always, you can reach us via Instagram or email. We would be happy to recommend streams or places to go fish if you're in the Western North Carolina area. Also, if you're in another area where we've done a show with people, we'll be glad to hook you up with those guys as well. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to our wives, Laura and Sally, which have still been one of probably the most coolest episodes of the show in the 100. And thank you to our kids, families, everybody who supports us. We really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for making 100 episodes just an awesome experience for all of us.
Yeah, thanks everyone so much. And thanks for taking out today's episode. And until next time, tight lines. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dads on the Fly podcast. We hope this episode has inspired you as a parent or an angler.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please check us out at dadsonthefly.com. There you can subscribe to our email list and find out all the things we got going on here at Dads on the Fly.